Hey, just a heads up. In this podcast, we talk about the show Hey Dude, which ran on Nickelodeon from 1989 to 1991. It's a fantastic show, and you should check it out. You can stream it on Paramount Plus or purchase it on Amazon or iTunes or wherever. But you should pay for this show and watch it along with us. However, you do not have to. We hope you enjoy Yay Dude, even if you have never seen the show. But again, check it out. It's fantastic. We love it. What a bite this show is. So much more than I could have ever imagined when it was my favorite show as a child. It's like, now it's really my favorite show. Not because it's the best show, but because it gives me the most.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
I don't have any other shows where people follow me on Instagram about it.
Also, my new friend at the coffee shop, she said mm-hmm. she started listening and she's so happy. She was like, oh, I'm so happy to remember how boring and wonderful that show was.
Oh my God, I know. The pace of it has really grown on me too.
Yeah. Should we start the show?
Yes. Hey, Jess, welcome to the podcast. It's called Yay Dude. It's a Hey Dude rewatch podcast. I almost said starring yes. me.
Starring Teresa and Jessica.
Yes. We are podcasters.
It's true.
And this is our podcast where we rewatch Hey Dude and we talk about it on our show Yay Dude.
This is the penultimate episode that we're discussing today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, of season two. Called Cowboy Ernst.
Can I tell you, I didn't really used to use that word or know that word until Stencils kept saying it on our second to last philosophy class of the semester. He kept saying it was the penultimate class. And so finally I was just like, well, I'm going to have to fucking learn what that means.
Then I can penultimate him in his face.
It's a really great word. And I'm mad that that's why I know it.
Oh, man.
Is that a word that you knew before college? You probably did. You were much better at vocabulary.
Me and my dad did teach English for a number of years, and I was required to know it.
I remember getting to college, and we didn't even go to a college with, like, very smart people, and realizing, like, I don't know a lot of the words that some of these folks know. But mostly it was because my very first class was with Pedantic Peter.
Who introduced himself as Pedantic Peter.
And then thankfully, a lot of dodo birds were like, what does that mean? And he was like, it means I really care about words. Still like, no, it doesn't, man.
No. Remember that time he made me buy a dictionary?
No. What?
He tricked me. He brought this really cool dictionary to class, and he was like, hey, if anybody wants this, talk to me after class. And so I was like, yeah, I don't want that.
And did you make you pay for it?
Yeah. And it was $40, and I did not have $40, but I couldn't like say no to Pedantic Peter. And now that dictionary is on my parents' bookshelf. Because I can't have it in my house because it is one of those mortifying things.
Oh my God. So what did you tell him when you said it was $40?
I'm sure my eyes got wide and I nodded and said, okay, I'll bring it next class. For some reason I did. Because now I have the thing.
He was very intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really, really mature, wonderful way that we handled his intimidation was we included him in a lot of our Mad Libs.
We did. Anyway, it's the penultimate episode, as you mentioned. Uh-huh. The problem with that story is that I don't necessarily want to call Stencils out on being called Stencils.
Well, we don't ever explain it. You just mention him like he's a human named Stencils.
Does he know we called him Stencils?
Oh, yes. He loves it.
Okay.
No, I definitely came out to him about that well over a decade ago.
You started it because you had him first. And then I had him and I was like, oh my God, yes, this guy.
And in case you do include any of this, we should say that the name Stencils is short for guy whose eyes I want to stab out with pencils.
It's so good. Good old Stencils.
Yeah, I had to come clean because we're like friends now. And I didn't want him. It was about being in integrity.
Yes.
You know.
Do you want to watch this show?
The show, the penultimate episode of season 2 of Hey Dude?
Yes. Because we're going to take another little act break after the next one. So probably we should talk about this one before it's too late.
This one's called Cowboy Ernst. Do you want to hear the synopsis?
Yes, I do want to.
When the kids find out Mr. Ernst is selling the bar none because he feels he is not a real cowboy, they try to convince him otherwise.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. It's really only about the one thing this time. There's no B plot.
Mm-mm. The B plot is really introduced here where the kids are taking a pop quiz from a magazine. It's about what a shit personality Ted has.
It is about that. Would you call that a B plot though, or just like some little tack on? It's not either. Like, it seems generous to call it a plot.
Yeah, it's no, you're correct. It's not really a plot. But it is the thing that they started the cold open and then they end with it. So
they're taking a magazine quiz. They first ask, who would you rather be stuck in an elevator with?
Yeah.
Pee-wee Herman, Hulk Hogan, or Jim Baker? And Jess, I was going to ask you, who would you most like to be stuck in an elevator with?
Well, I had to be reminded who Jim Baker was.
I did too. Had no idea.
Yeah, that's Tammy Faye's ex-husband.
Yes, televangelist.
Yes, was involved in a sex scandal and fraud, and also was a theme park tycoon.
It's an interesting thing to put in a teen quiz, isn't it?
Yeah, that one was for the parents watching, I suppose. The outcome of this quiz, like, everybody's got cool personalities except for Ted. He has the personality of an asparagus. And so he must have answered C on a number of things. Mm. And the C answers were wild. That's what I surmised.
I don't know that a lot of kids would know who Jim Baker was. And so maybe all the C answers were the adult answers. Mm. Right? Like, it's like, what would you rather eat for dinner? Cotton candy, pizza, or grapefruit half? Right? Like, maybe that's how it went. So, could be.
Ted really has a strong belief that these quizzes are 100% accurate. What do you think?
I was big into these types of tests.
Oh my God, me too.
Yeah. Like, magazine quizzes, and obviously Melody is too. This isn't the first time. I think there's a degree of accuracy, especially depending on how many questions it is and how many response options you have. Some of these magazine quizzes really pigeonhole you in. There's like three choices and they're so wildly specific that it's really hard to pick one that is accurate. But I took a lot of personality quizzes back in my teens, like Myers-Briggs style. I'm still that. Like, I'm still an ENFP.
Yeah, me too.
No, you're not.
I am mildly expressed either way on every trait.
And then that's it. Then Ted has to act disappointed and mad at the camera for another 10 seconds while the credits roll.
Yeah. He really does a great job at being baffled for all of that time.
They ask him to do that a lot, where he has to just hold an acting move. After the credits, Ted runs and leaps into the corral like a parkour guy again,
per usual,
and he wants to take the test again, right? Do you think that's fair? You can't take a personality test twice, the same one.
No, you get what you get. Don't be upset.
Also, it's kind of a mean quiz.
Yeah.
There are a lot of frogs in the background in this one though.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad has a very good ponytail, so those are my only other points to make.
So the kids see some surveyors in the background and they're speculating on what it could be.
They're curious about what is going on because obviously something is, Mr. Ernst has these guys here to look at something for building or Who knows? So Brad decides to go to the horse's mouth, who is Mr. Ernst, and find out what the dealio is. I don't want to say that. Find out what the deal is. And turns out, I don't know. Basically, they come in and Mr. Ernst is kind of hemming and hawing and doesn't want to explain what the real thing is. And he starts saying goofy stuff. And also, my husband pointed out while we were watching this that it looks like he has a couple of Crown Royal bags sitting on his desk.
But those bags are not for alcohol. They're for Ernst's miracle desert sod.
He's going to experiment with sod instead of owning a ranch anymore.
Yeah. On Mr. Ernst's desk there is a notebook that says Ernst's miracle desert sod. And you can make out those words on these Crown Royal bags.
It's like a leather notebook with it like stamped into the leather. This guy likes to buy swag before he should.
He is not great at, that's not how we business, I'm told.
Does he tell them about his idea?
Yes.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the kids come in after he's done with his meeting with the real estate guy. And he tells them that he's selling the ranch and that he's going to be Ernst Miracle Desert Sod Man. Big guy.
He invented a new kind of sod that grows in the sand. The kids are real sad about it. Melody has a moment where she's not that sad because Mr. Ernst said they're going to put a mall here instead, which is it's really interesting place for a mall.
It's a bad idea.
It's, we assume, based off of the fact that there's like empty mine shafts all around and you know, you can lost out in the desert and ride your horse all over, that it's not in a very densely populated place.
Then a surveyor walks in.
Yes.
And this surveyor is played by Michael Fleming, who is British.
Oh.
And he's been in lots of things since the 1960s.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Are you going to tell me anything about him or no?
No, that's all my notes said.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's good. Mr. Ernst says the reason why he's going to sell, right, is because he's not a cowboy, sure. Did he tell the kids that's why he
No.
said? No, but he overheard it.
Yeah, when he's on the phone with Ralph from the Circle J, who's going to sell the horses to.
From the Circle Jerk Ranch, right. He's in the process of selling it because he's not a cowboy. Yeah.
And he looks in the mirror and he puts his big, dumb penis hat on and he's like, this never suited me.
So if this whole show takes place over the course of one summer.
Yeah.
We're only on season two. Mr. Ernst did not last long as a rancher.
Yeah. This is like, what, a month in?
A month in.
We're assuming the summer is 4 months long.
Yeah. It's that.
Huh. He's got some major confidence issues.
He does, but he's pretty confident about being able to make inventions.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the 80s and 90s and how I thought this, it was kind of pretty common, I feel like, among kids, and maybe it was among adults too, that like, if you want to make it, you have to invent something.
Yeah.
Be an inventor. And there was like commercials on, remember those like, got an invention? Call this number. I don't think most people think that anymore. I think most of the things have been invented.
I think that most people think they don't have to invent something. They just have to get famous. Like it really has shifted from product to brand.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like a lot of the products are just coming from the same places now, right? Like a company that it already exists is going to come up with a new thing. I just don't think there's that many things to invent anymore. So, I mean, what are you going to just come up with an invention? What are you going to invent?
I'm going to invent the new carbon sequestration awesome jam.
The what?
I'm going to invent these little bees that go into the air and collect carbon and dive deep into the ocean and deposit it down there.
Oh, good job.
And then climate change is averted.
Cool.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of climate change is carbon's fault anymore.
I'm going to invent a thing where you put it in the refrigerator and it's like a Lazy Susan, but it moves stuff from the back of your refrigerator to the front of your refrigerator.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I can't lie. It was my mom's idea.
Ellen, wow.
I know. Wow.
I'm glad you came clean about that. But that Thank is you. A very good invention. Mm-hmm. You could just put a lazy Susan in your refrigerator. You just do that. So then Mr. Ernst is talking to Ralph from the Circle J. He says, now this is big. So he says, I'm just an accountant from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Episode one of season one, he says, I'm an accountant from New York.
I told you they're fucking liars. Everybody yeah. from New Jersey says they're from New York when they're talking to people out west.
And now we're getting to the real crux of his problem is that he hasn't been honest.
With himself.
Mm-hmm. And Buddy overhears him telling Ralph from the Circle Jerk that that's the real reason that he can't do ranch anymore.
Was he ever really doing it? I think Lucy was doing it.
The kids do go to see what Lucy thinks next.
After Buddy jumps, like, rises up in the window and shoots his dad in the back of the neck with a squirt gun.
Kids, am I right?
So rude.
I think everybody got a haircut. Ted's hair looks quite crisp.
It does.
Brad's hair is shorter. I uh-huh. can't tell what Danny's mullet situation is, but it seems like it might have gotten cleaned up a bit.
Maybe they brought a stylist on set.
I love what Lucy says. She's like, this is my third or fourth ranch. Has she been kicked out of three other ranches because the land was just too valuable and the ranchers got greedy? And
mm-hmm.
so she's like, well, I got to go find another ranch, I guess. And because a ranch hand belongs on a ranch.
That's what they say. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are all these little tags all over things back here.
Yeah. Like price tags.
Yes. Is that piece of wood for sale for $30?
That's a good question.
It's 30 or is it 30? It's $30.
No, there's something hanging from the piece of wood.
What is it? It looks just like it's the post itself is worth for sale for $30.
Now, I thought it said 50 cents. I think that there's a leather belt, like a horse belt.
And it's $50. 50 cents? That's a really good deal.
Yeah. Oh, the 90s. So, Buddy makes a fenstrance. And I just needed to use that word again before it's the so season's good. Over.
Very good.
Ted has a scheme. And are we surprised?
Never. I think that this is a good time to have a scheme, though.
Yeah.
If ever there's a time for a scheme, this is the time. You got to mm-hmm. not only save your butt, save Lucy's butt, save Mr. Ernst from making a decision just because he's got low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to make him think that he's a real cowboy.
Yeah. Like he can do the thing.
Okay. So the first thing is that they're going to have a quick draw contest, Ted and Mr. Ernst. And Ted's filling up a water gun that looks like a real gun.
Yeah, this was before you put an orange cap on the end of your fake gun.
I was going to ask. Aww. I thought you had to put an orange cap on the end of a fake gun.
That must have been because of shows like this. But he's got a new catchphrase in this part of the episode, and it goes, my dad, a real cowboy, or insert action or noun. Are you nuts?
Are you nuts? They get real sick of him saying that eventually.
Oh my God, I get really sick. I remember this episode. Or they may have had this trope on another episode or two, but yes. I very distinctly remember being very bored by this.
He's not my favorite character.
Yeah.
We all know who my favorite character is. Let's just forget it. He's the one right here who's going to do the quickest draw in the West.
Yeah.
But secretly, he's going to try because it's a real fantasy of his, but he needs Mr. Ernst to help him by competing, I guess.
That's what he says. And you know what? They do a thing where they do a pace off. What do you call that?
I don't know. Pace away.
Do pace the off? Duel.
Pace off? Maybe we're just thinking of pace off.
They do a full Travolta, Nick Cage.
Did you know that Bob Munden is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the fastest man with a gun who ever lived?
Bob Munden, you say?
Bob Munden.
I didn't know that.
They reckon that if Munden had been at the OK Corral and Tombstone on the 26th of October, 1881, that the gunfight would have been over in 5 to 10 seconds.
Whoa. Yeah.
Just a little tidbit for you.
How fast is this fast?
I don't know.
Well, it's bound to be faster than Mr. Ernst because he drops his gun and steps on it.
It's so sad and bad. Even to the point where Ted couldn't even fake it. Like, he couldn't even be like, oops, so you got me, Mr. Ernst, because it was, like, so bad. Like, he dropped the gun and then he got a shard of the gun in his foot.
But I'll tell you what, they did really good getting the glint on his glasses.
Oh, I thought this was a real highlight of David Brisbane's best work here.
His bumbling
and his faces and... Yes, mm-hmm. Just goofiness. Jess, do you think treating an adult like this would work? Would any adult, would this work on anybody who's a grown up?
No. Do you think that there's any scenario where this could work?
I really don't know. You would have to be such an idiot to think. No, I hope not. I hope that most adults out there in the world who are in charge of things, that this wouldn't work on them.
Yeah.
The whole thing is sad to watch.
Yeah. The next attempt they have at making Mr. Ernst feel like a real cowboy, mm-hmm. he's wheelbarrowing his sod around, and Danny's like, you can lasso, right? You've never lassoed before, but why don't you give it a go?
And Brad is supposed to say, that's amazing, no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Ernst really gets wrapped up in that rope.
He's very bad at it.
Yeah, so bad. Yeah, and Brad says, great job anyway. Mr. Ernst storms off saying, I'm a cowboy and Oprah Winfrey is the queen of Greece. Like, those are equally... I would 1,000,000% bet that Oprah Winfrey is the queen of Greece.
She could be. She's queen of a lot of things. My husband brought up a point today that mm-hmm. you can tell this is back then because we would never say her full name now. It's she's just Oprah now. This is before Oprah was Oprah, right?
Yeah. She was not monominous?
That sounds like a real word.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like a Madonna. Not a Madonna. Like Madonna. Or Cher.
Yeah. I don't know when the last time anybody said her full name.
You just did, like, a minute ago. Well,
that's because I was reading it off the screen.
Okay, the next scene, they go to the boathouse.
Have you ever seen the boathouse before?
No, and you know it's the boathouse because Melody has a giant beach ball.
Yeah.
And then there's some random life jackets hung up outside in the sun, which is not what you should do with them.
No.
And a lantern.
But they're tossing the beach ball around and wondering what else they could possibly do to make Mr. Ernst feel like a cowboy. And the obvious answer is horse stuff
and just general cowboy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So just that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Aside from horse stuff, as Danny says, mm-hmm. what do you think is cowboy stuff? What are some cowboy stuff things?
Well, okay, when I was a little girl, my mom likes to tell this story that I said that I wanted to be a cowgirl, and she asked me, what do cowgirls do? And I said that they tell the cows to go this way and that way.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that story. It's so cute.
Clearly, that's a cowboy thing as well.
Uh-huh.
Like, he could tell the cows which way to go.
It's actually really accurate, I think. They do mm-hmm. do that, right? Isn't that what a rancher does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they don't have any cows on this ranch.
Other cowboy stuff, eating beans.
Uh-huh. Making fires to cook your beans on.
Yep. Slinging a tin cup along the... No, wait, that's prisoner.
What?
Nope. Okay.
Oh, they write poetry.
Yeah. Do they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cowboy poetry. And he's great at poetry.
Hanging a canteen on stuff.
Sure.
Breaking in your boots.
Panning for gold.
Ooh, that's one.
Can a cowboy do that? Maybe in his spare time.
Putting a bunch of stuff in a cast iron skillet and making it into like a stew?
Yeah. That sounds cowboy.
Mm.
Cowboy AF. What?
Well, there we go. We could have done some of those things, but instead, he's going to save Brad from a snake.
Yeah.
A rubber snake.
Ted is going to put the snake on the ground and Brad's going to ride up and pretend like her horse is flipping out.
Yeah, and she can't do anything about it and she needs Mr. Ernst to save her.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you that we just bought a snake bite kit from the Army Surplus store?
Oh, that seems like a good plan down there.
I don't think it does much of anything. I think it's like a string that you can tie around your vein a little bit so it doesn't slows down the stuff. And then there's like a suction cup thing so you can get a little bit of the venom out. But I don't think it's much else.
Well, I'm glad that you have it for just in case.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Mostly it's just fun to go around the Army Surplus store and buy stuff.
Yeah, that does sound like fun.
Especially because like this store doesn't fit in with where we live. It's fantastic. There's some weird old stuff that, like, we bought a mosquito net for my head. It smells so bad.
Is it attached to a hat?
No, you put it on top of a hat.
Okay.
And then it goes, but it's like this, you don't have to. You can just like go on your head like a bag. Great. And it smells like a dog's butt.
I'm glad you bought that too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for the season finale, I'll go into the feed corral.
Ooh.
We've got a real cowboy-looking store. Their plan goes exactly according to plan.
It does, and then that's the end of the episode.
Well, Brad comes up and her horse flips out. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Ernst is like, oh, I know what you're doing.
Because you didn't... He was in... For whatever reason, while they were coming up with this plan, he happened to be in the boathouse
with his sod.
Is that why he was in there? Did they explain?
I don't know.
I don't know why he was in there. A place that none of us have ever seen.
He was holding his sample sod when he came out.
Yeah, in the boathouse, of course.
Yeah.
So he heard them. So he knew they were going to have a fake snake and that he was going to have to, quote, save Brad. But he thought this was really sweet, and he loves these kids, and so he knew what was happening, and he played along. That fake snake, Jess, it looked really real.
It looked really real.
Sitting there in the dirt, moving its head around.
Yeah, I figured Buddy had it on a string or something, and it was just a real realistic snake.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't see this one coming at all.
Then we see that this is a real-ass snake.
Well, he doesn't know that.
No, we, the viewers and the kids all see it.
The kids
know it. Mr. Ernst is like, this is a fake snake and I'm just going to play with it like it's a tie.
And Brad's horse is really freaking out there. And hey, Kelly Brown, if you're listening, I think you really actually could ride a horse pretty good. I know y'all said like nobody was really that good at riding horses or anything. She rode up like that was her. Right. Yeah. Maybe not the jumping around part because they don't show her face, but the straight ride up, that was her. And that horse was going at a pretty decent clip. So good job, Kelly Brown.
Hmm?
I feel like I need to compliment their activities a little bit more.
I just want to talk about how much I want to brush horses. Did I tell you that I discovered that that's like my ASMR?
Oh.
I've never had brain tingles before, but I was
amazing
watching horse brushing and it was like my brain just
feels so good. I love ASMR.
But it's horse brushing season now. I just want to brush a horse.
Okay.
So if you're out there, anybody, let me come brush your horse, please.
You can reach us at yaydudecast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, the horse apparently was really freaking out. And we know it because Ted comes up. He's like, sorry, it was late. And he's holding the rubber horse. Rubber horse? The whole time it was a rubber horse, but a real snake.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a while for Mr. Ernst to realize it. He's telling them, here, guess what? I'm not going to actually sell the ranch. You're the best kids in the world, yada, yada. And finally, they get him to realize you just saved Brad by picking up a real snake. And he faints.
He faints. This is his first faint on the show, right? I don't think fully passed out before.
He's fallen a lot.
Yeah, he sure falls off the ladder and etc.
This might be the first faint.
So then we're at the end of the episode and the kids are all sitting around with Lucy and talking about what Ted's new score is.
Before that. He's passed out with a snake around his neck. The kids are like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And of course, Danny, because we know he has snake friends.
Yeah, snake handling skill.
Yeah, he's friends with Ernstine and Gertrude.
Yeah, I think so.
So he picks it up off his neck and he's like, it's just a bull snake, you idiots. Don't rattle.
Yeah, silly dum-dums.
But I love that. Of course, Danny just goes and picks up the snake. But then where does he put it? Then it's just gone.
Yeah, he just hands it to the animal handlers. And
but there again, I checked the credits. There was no Critters of the Cinema.
I wonder who was providing the bull snake. Maybe it was a volunteer, local talent.
Maybe it's actually Joe Torres's snake, since he's the one always handling them.
Oh.
You think? He lives locally. He could just go home and get it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think every episode Joe Torres would go to the writer and be like, you guys need a snake in this one? You need me to go home and get one of my snakes? Who put a snake in this one? Oh, I got an idea. How about at the end, there's a snake?
He just loves snakes so much. I think Josh Teigle is much more likely to be a snake guy.
Well, then why is he not the one picking it up then? But don't you think that it's just so natural when Joe Torres does it? Like, that's his own snake, you know? Hey, that's my snake.
It could be.
It's all speculation, Jess. You don't have to agree with me.
I don't know. I don't think it's Joe Torres' snake.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
I mean, I feel like we know the other actors. Like, we've seen them at the reunions. We've heard interviews with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Torres, we don't know anything about the actor.
We don't.
I'm saying maybe I don't have a sense for Joe Torres, the person.
Well.
And whether or not he's a snake guy. I do think a young Josh Teigle was probably a snake guy. And it's much more likely that they got the snake from his house if there was no Critters of the Cinema.
I can see that. My point, though, is that Joe Torres, as Danny, maybe he's just a very good actor, but he looks very natural picking up a snake. But anyway, what's the end of this here?
Oh, the kids are all sitting around with Lucy talking about what score the Ted got on his new version of the quiz. And Lucy's saying, thank you for letting me keep my job. Ted only scores 55. And that is the personality of an onion is much more interesting.
How do you think he got worse? Oh, God. He's the personality of an onion.
No, it's not. It's worse. He makes an onion seem interesting.
Oh, well, onions are interesting. They have layers.
Yeah.
That's my Shrek joke.
Oh, that is a good Shrek joke.
An ogre is like an onion of layers.
And Ted's not that interesting.
And also, did I ever tell you that my job interview for my first role with my current company, I tried to make a joke about how I'm like Shrek because I have layers? Nobody got it.
Oh, my God. I am so inspired that you got the job anyway.
Oh, I'm good at job interviews, despite that.
Despite that anecdote.
Yeah. I am pretty good at job interviews. Well, it shows you the level of confidence that I walked into this interview with to say something that stupid.
Impressively so.
If somebody said that to me when I was if I was interviewing them, hired on the spot, I don't care if you have any skills.
You just are that Shrek-philic?
No, I just
attracted to Shrek-related things.
No, I just think that An awesome person would say something like that. Because I am that person. Officially.
Mr. Ernst walks up. He's got a new cowboy hat that's not in the shape of a dick. He's got a bright red shirt and one of those ties that's black and silk. And he's got armbands and a very big belt buckle and some, is that like lamb's wool? Black lamb's wool chaps?
His chaps look like they're made out of a Muppet.
Yeah, they are my favorite chaps I've seen so far. And he's like, I'm going to be Cowboy Ben now. And he mounts his horse backwards.
Mounts his horse backwards, which is really actually pretty hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put your heel in the stirrup. And just your heel.
Yeah. It's impressively bad at horse.
Yeah. Huh. Sometimes you're so bad at something that it's like, actually, you're really good at it. This is one of those things.
Yeah, we've never seen Mr. Ernst on a horse before. And this is a great first go.
So that begs the question. Trough watch?
Interesting use of both that term and question. Subsequent question. Yes.
Yes.
No troughs.
Right. Exactly.
How many horseshoes are you going to give this one?
So this one was written by Dean Young.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Young was apparently never invited back to write more.
No, but he did write a bunch on Mad About You and then one episode of Community.
Which episode of Community did he write? Hold on. I'm going to look right now.
But while you're looking that up, I want to tell, I really liked the pacing of this one. I wrote in my notes, it made 22 minutes fly by when they usually take an hour.
Jeez. Okay.
Sometimes I feel like the episodes really drag. And I mean, not in this rewatch. This rewatch, seemed interminable. So maybe I was just a different amount of high earlier.
I thought this one, like, it had the ingredients.
Laws of Robotics and Party Rights.
Which one is that?
Prisoner attends Greendale via telerobot. Britta tries to get around one of Annie's rules.
This is the sixth season. Yeah, that was on Yahoo. Yeah, it's an okay episode. It's not my favorite. And that's what I would say with this one, too. It was okay. No, I didn't like it. I didn't think this one was very good. And not because, I mean, they did it right. Like, he did it right. He
used the rule of threes.
He followed the formula really well. I just don't like episodes that aren't focused on the teens. And specifically, Ted.
More Ted.
And I am just dreading the day that he leaves for a little while.
Oh my gosh. When does that happen?
Happens next season.
In the middle or in the beginning?
In the first third, probably. Yeah, I'm going to have a tough time, Jess. Like, that episode where we bid farewell, you're going to have to help me through it.
Oh my god, and then he doesn't return until episode 8 of season 4?
Yeah, he's gone for a while.
Oh, shit.
Now, Jake, the character Jake, is a good replacement.
Okay.
He's fun to watch. Kyle, we'll see how that goes. So, but I think what they end up doing is they try to sort of split the two things about Ted between these two guys, the kind of goofy, lovable nature, but gets into antics and is kind of a screw up aspect of Ted is what they put into Jake. And then the like love interest for Brad, they put into Kyle.
Okay.
So anyway.
So horseshoes?
Oh, right. You gave it how many?
Well, I didn't tell you, but it was 5.
Oh, okay. But you liked it.
But only until you said you didn't like it.
You can like it whether I like it or not. You get to decide. You're a grown up.
So here's the thing. I liked the pacing.
Yes, the pacing was good.
Yeah. I don't think I like this as well as Superstar. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's how I feel. I was going to say five.
Yeah.
It was fine. Like, it was perfectly fine. I thought technically it was well done. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't have that spark for me.
Buddy's catchphrase was so grating, it took away any stars. But
my son, Sam, is named after Sam Malone from Cheers. Mm-hmm. So we have watched a lot of Cheers in our day. And to me, this is like taking an episode of Cheers and not putting any Sam and Diane banter in it. It's just hard to imagine.
Mm, okay.
I guess there was Brad making fun of Ted for being an asparagus. I guess it's good they put that in because you really need, I need that. I need some sort of nugget of the will they, won't they.
Yeah, it was barely graspable, but it was there.
Right. Especially because the last couple of episodes, there's really been like that elevation. And so you kind of want to keep seeing it go that way. And then this one, I was just like, meh. Just didn't have enough of that for me.
And it also just seemed implausible. Mr. Ernst just giving up because he doesn't feel like that goes against everything he teaches his boy.
Right.
Like you persevere and you do the thing, even though it's hard. You don't just sell a ranch out from under the boots of the people who work there.
Well, Jess, I give it a five. You give it a five. That's a big fat 10 out of 20 horseshoes. Mm-hmm. Not so good. Well, yeah. Dean Young, we're not going to hear from him again.
I hope he's doing well.
And Dean Young, if you're listening, I take it back. I did like that episode of Community, and he was a producer on Community. Well, that's why he didn't write so many. He produced 13 episodes.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of season. Oh, he produced all of season 6. Huh. Okay. Well, Dean Young, I need to tell you that the final episode of Community, I think, is one of the greatest finales of any show of all time. It was so good. It was so good. Season 6, they really pulled something off that I didn't think they'd be able to, but especially the finale. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the movie.
Is that happening in this century?
Yeah, supposedly.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
The Hey Dude movie is going to be happening too.
Yeah, that Hey Dude movie.
Wouldn't that be a dream?
Wouldn't it be a dream if they asked us to be producers on it? So we know the show so well?
Yeah.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I would just come as long as they let me brush the horses sometimes.
I'll free myself up. Hey Dude movie would be so cool.
Seriously.
Hey, Joe Torres, watch.
Yeah, what do you think happened to him?
Well, you know what I think. I think he's just at home with all his terrariums full of all of his snakes. But I know you don't think that.
I have a theory.
What's that?
That Dean Young and Joe Torres are off writing their own Hey Dude reboot.
Oh, my God. And they are just that good at keeping this thing under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
I would lose my shit, Jess. I would absolutely lose it.
That would be phenomenal. Well, listen, in any case, Joe Torres, we hope you're well.
We do hope you're well. Jess, do you have anything else for us today?
Listen, I know a lot of people wrote in to ask me about my dislocated elbow.
Did they really?
I mean, our friend Molly texted us today. And I'm doing a lot better. I have sensation in all of my fingers, and I tied my shoes all by myself today.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I can tie my shoes too.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. I wanted to say, follow us on our social media, which is at Yay Dudecast on Instagram. That is also our Gmail, yaydudecast@gmail.com, and you can find us on our Facebook page. And we have had some new followers, so thank you. So
thank
very
you.
Exciting and fun for us when we get to have new folks join the Yay Dude crew.
Yeah.
What should we call our listeners? You know, there's like Mabim Bambinos and Murderinos, and what are we, the Yay Dudesters? Well, if you want to be a Yay Dudester, but you don't know where to start.
Start by writing a review on iTunes.
Yeah, write a review before you ever hear the show. I think this one was hard for me to talk about just because it didn't, this one was about a grown-up.
Yeah.
I'm glad, I like David Brisbane. I'm glad he gets his times to shine because he's a good actor. But I don't like a teen show that's not about teens.
Yeah. Did your kid have anything to say about this episode? Any reflections from the child?
He wouldn't stop talking. He wouldn't stop talking through the whole episode. And I kept having to pause and rewind, which also might be why I don't have as many good things to say about this one, because I had to watch it extra.
Yeah.
But I think he probably, it was similar. I mean, he wasn't that into the ones without the teens. He likes the teens as well. He really just likes Ted. It's genetic.
Yeah.
But he had to make us dinner. The other night, he owed us. He had to make us dinner because we got him a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
He made us sandwiches that he came up with the recipe. Piece of bread. Uh-huh. Pieces of bread because it was a sandwich. With a dollop of ranch in the middle and a cheese stick diagonally across it. And then one sweet pepper each.
Okay, on the side?
Mm-hmm. And then he put out a bunch of hot sauces on the table.
How is it?
Way better than he could have done. It was cute. It was fine. It was just cheese like, and bread.
Those are all foods.
Yeah. And then he licked his fingers a lot while he was making it, which is extra cool because now he's sick. And so I'm just waiting for myself to get sick.
Children are so gross.
I know, right?
Yes. Okay. I love you. I love Hey Dude. I love Yay Dude. And I love all of you listeners.
And bye for now.
Bye for now.